Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Give us a call right now, and let's talk about it at 844-322-2742. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher, a little under the weather today, but it's Richard and me, and we're going to hold forth. Welcome.
We're going to try.
We're going to try.
Here we go. All month we've been studying how to approach the Bible, how to study the Bible, the power inherent within the Bible, and we want to continue that today. A passage out of 1 Thessalonians 2. I have to say that slowly.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 2. And it gives a little indication of something, but there's a backstory to this. This is verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And we read that and we go, wow, that, you know, that's something we can aspire to.
Sure.
Well,
maybe
you recall the backstory. If you went back to Acts 17, and in particular verse 11, you would see the story of Paul's second missionary journey. And they got across over into Macedonia, and they were in Philippi, and that's where the jailer and the you know, the, all that work happened. And then they left and got to Thessalonica. And they were in Thessalonica for a while. And then the Jews started rioting and causing problems, and they left and went to Berea. And Luke reports that in Berea, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied to see whether these things were so.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get from there to here, where when Paul writes the letter, the first letter to the Thessalonians, he says, well, you accepted the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God. This is one of those... It's my opinion, one of those slow burn kind of things. When they were in Thessalonica, there's a lot going on,
and
they're dealing with all this interruption, and Paul couldn't be certain that the Thessalonians had actually gotten it. And so, you know, if we go back into chapter 1, it says... to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So over time, in the intervening months between their visit and having to leave in such a hurry and then writing the letter, they heard that in fact the word of God had been accepted as the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have seen the evidence of it, and guess what? We don't always get to see the evidence of it either.
Yeah.
We get to share the word of God with people, whether you're doing it like Bob and I are doing it here on radio, or if it's just a conversation over coffee or whenever, you can share something with someone, and it just... It's so alive in your own mind that you can hardly contain it.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you're looking across the table, and you're talking, and they're going, uh-huh.
Deer in the headlights.
You know, and it just, and you go, oh, my goodness, how is it that they can't see it?
Yeah.
Just let God do what he does. You know, sometimes it takes a while. It has to percolate. The Spirit, one of the Spirit's main jobs is to renew our minds. Some of us need a lot of renewing. I was one of those people. Took me 15 years to finally say, I guess grace is everything.
You're kind of like Paul.
Huh? Yeah. No, I'm not. I fought this tooth and nail because I wanted to do things right. I wanted to know what it was. I wanted to control it. And the Spirit had to just dig through the trash, take out bags and bags of the lousy thinking. And one day, thanks to all kinds of people and the patience of God himself, the light went on. And whoever shared the gospel with me, and there were several, you could now say it has borne fruit because you accepted it as it really is, the Word of God. So be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Be patient with those you know and don't seem to have responded yet. And remember that the Thessalonians are your model. At the beginning, it didn't seem like they had gotten there. And by the time Paul gets around to writing his letters, he is full of praise because the Word of God is bearing fruit in them, and the whole Mediterranean was hearing about them. Mm-hmm. That's the grace of God.
That's the grace of God. And that's Basic Gospel, everybody. We appreciate you joining us today. Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Davis. As I said, Bob Christopher is a little under the weather today. We hope you'll be back soon. And in the meantime, if it is about 5 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and the lines are wide open right now. We'd love to address your question if you have one. If you have a topic of interest you'd like to discuss, give us a call, 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you right now. Friends, remember that this ministry, Basic Gospel, is listener-supported, and if what you're hearing has made a difference in your life and your understanding of the gospel and the new covenant or of the new covenant, well, please stand with us to keep the good news coming. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And again, in Canada, you can use basicgospel.net/Canada. Any way is a great way to join us in the partnership that we call Basic Gospel. We would love to continue to proclaim the fullness of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Richard, let's...
Let me add something to that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
As of this moment, in this month, mm-hmm. which is less than a week left in the month,
right.
we're about halfway to where we would normally need to be for any given month.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change that.
Yeah.
You know, I know January is hard because all of the holidays and all of the spending and weather is crazy right now. I mean, it's so cold in so much of the country.
Yeah.
People kind of hunker down and they dig in. And but your bills keep coming. You have to go to work. Mm-hmm. Our bills keep coming. So we continue to ask for your support. So let's see what we can do the last few days of this month.
Yeah, 3 days.
Again, mm-hmm. no guilt. That's not the way we work. But the statement of fact,
right.
we could use a little more income than we've got right now.
Once again, basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage, or use the app or PayPal. And in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, again, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing Basic Gospel live, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. And guys, before the broadcast, we were kind of debating whether we had answered this question previously or not, but we're going to do it again regardless. This is from Aaron in Pennsylvania, and it concerns Colossians 3:17. He writes to us from Pittsburgh. Is Colossians 3:17 saying that it's appropriate to add the tag in the name of Jesus in everything we do and everything we say so that believers and unbelievers alike know our relationship with Jesus and provoke them to know him more? Or is this more of an identity verse that wants us to realize that any act we commit or word we say is representing him versus a commandment to say in Jesus' name? That's from Aaron in Pittsburgh.
I think it's more the second half of the question. It's more of an identity verse. It's more a realization that who I am and what I do is only possible because of who Jesus is and what he does. It is not a law, absolutely not a law. We don't live under law.
Right.
And besides, if you've ever been around people who either use this phrase directly or other phrase, you know, they say the Lord Jesus Christ 43 times during a prayer.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You don't talk to your friends that way.
No.
Do I, Bob? Huh, Bob?
No.
Huh, Bob? You know, we don't do that. And so we should pay attention to what we're saying. It's not just some reactionary phrase that pops out of our mouth every time we say something. But in reality, everything we do is done in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Absolutely.
Because he's the one who has made all of this possible. I breathe because he breathes. I speak because he speaks. I walk because he walks. I mow the lawn, if I mow the lawn. I usually don't. Because he's mowing the lawn through me. I play the piano because he's playing through me. There's that realization. And That's the identity side of this. Yeah. When you wake up and realize that absolutely everything that occurs in your life is sacred.
Yes.
There's no difference. There's no secular versus sacred. As a child of God, everything that I do now, I do in Christ, because of Christ, therefore that makes it sacred.
Yeah.
The option, or the opposite, if you want, is not secular but profane. Anything that I do in my own strength, mm-hmm. apart from faith, is profane.
Yeah.
Let's think of it in those terms, and then be thankful. I mean, this is that's the end of the verse here is giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's the silent word every moment on your lips. It's thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Aaron, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, don't hesitate to call anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742. We're going to swing over to Plano, Texas, and talk with Cecilia. And she's listening, I'm assuming, on the word, 100.7 FM. Cecilia, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, Cecilia.
I have a question, and it's biblical, but it's on a family member that we have that is dealing with addiction problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been addicted, but he's been he's an addict, but he's been a Christian for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've seen him be delivered and through prayer, and I know it's a thin line spiritually and going for help. And then also being worried about paying the bills for those 30 days. Now, what do you suggest when it comes to some family members saying, you know, go to a worldly place for help, or go to your pastor for counseling because it's not quite where they're using every day and maybe can be prevented from going there?
Well, first, what you're saying is very true, and a lot of Christians don't realize that. There can be people who are fully saved who still struggle with addiction. Okay, it sounds like your family member is one of those people.
Right.
But addiction has a very strong identity component to it. One of the things that makes it so hard to overcome is that if I were the addict, I would tend to say, but I'm an addict. I drink too much, or I do drugs too much, or whatever the addiction is. And when I say, I am a something or other, then I am naming myself something other than what Jesus names me. And so the underlying issue is twofold. The most important underlying issue is the spiritual one. You know, who does God say that I am in Christ? What kind of power is available to me with the indwelling Holy Spirit, etc.? But the other problem, and this is the one that presents more often than the physical problem, is that it is a physical problem. And that's why pastors quite often aren't the best people to talk to, because they don't know all the physical ramifications to an addiction. We can read about it a little bit, but we haven't studied it like certain professionals have, whether they're psychologists,
right,
or doctors or whatever. So I would never suggest to someone that they shouldn't look into professional help as a means of getting understanding over what's happening physically and mentally with an addiction. But don't expect to get spiritual help from those people. So it has to become a holistic answer. There will be people who can help your relative with the physical and mental aspects of it, and there will be people who can help with the spiritual aspects of it. And bringing all that information together in a way that makes sense is the effort. That's the effort you're expending. And, you know, there's always hope. There really is always hope. And dealing with, I mean, here's another spiritual issue for the addict. I was so good for the last 3 weeks, and then I just messed up yesterday, and now here's the guilt and the shame and the self-condemnation and all that kind of stuff. Plus, admit it, the family knows this is going on, and everybody rolls their eyes. Well, he did okay, or she did okay for 3 weeks, and then fell off the wagon. And so we do that to ourselves and we do it to each other. That, again, is a spiritual issue. You are not defined by your behavior. Okay? If your identity was based on your behavior, we would all be in serious trouble. But it is not. Our identity is defined by the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's where the spiritual truth and spiritual power has to come from. Otherwise, we're just out there on our own. So let me summarize it. Find competent help from professionals who can deal with the physical and mental aspects of this. But do not ignore, and please get competent help from someone who can give you the spiritual aspect of this so that your relative can, under the power of the Holy Spirit, watch and experience their mind be renewed so they start thinking differently, choosing differently, and therefore living differently. And it can take a long time or it can happen instantly. Mm-hmm. Both ways and everything in between is just fine. Put this in God's hands and hold on to your relative for all they're worth because they need your love right now.
Yeah, and they are worth it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me put you on hold because I'd like to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and give it to your family member. Because one of the, again, dealing with the spiritual side of this, the guilt and the anguish and all of that and the feelings of unworth, those things can be answered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Bob's book does a masterful job of explaining that. So hold on, and we'll send you a copy of that book.
Now, Cecilia, we're very glad that you called. Hope you'll keep listening. And if we can help further, don't hesitate to call. Thank you so much. Take care. And hold the line. Friends, as Richard was saying, we highly recommend Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It may hold the answer to some of the things you're going through. Just click the link at the top of the homepage and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace at basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net. We hope you'll get a copy of it. Well, again, open lines, 844-322-2742. Cecilia took advantage of the open lines, and we hope that you will, too. We still have time on the clock. If it's 17, 18 past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast at Basic Gospel. Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Davis. As I said earlier, Bob Christopher is a little bit under the weather today. We hope you'll be back soon. In the meantime, a question from Corey. He says, my question is concerning the phrase, God gives us common sense. I always say that common sense is not given by God, but is the result of the fall of Adam, kind of like mental survival kit that we've developed. Before sin entered the world, did Adam use common sense or did he rely solely upon his spiritual connection with God? Perhaps this question ironically proves that I don't have much of it, he says. common sense he's referring to. That's from Corey.
Yeah. God does not give us common sense. God gives us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's very uncommon sense. If you're not a child of God, if you're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then common sense is the only thing you've got. Some people are pretty good at it, some are not, but I wouldn't count on it. Common sense in the general case is the stuff that we've learned over a lifetime of experience. That's why somebody who's in their 40s or 50s or like me in their 60s may not see the world the same way that someone in their teens or 20s does, because we've been there and done that and probably failed at it. So that there is this idea that as you mature and you've lived more of life and you've dealt with more of the problems, there is a decision-making capability that comes along with that. But still, that pales in comparison to what the Holy Spirit can do for us and in us as he renews our minds, teaches us how to choose differently, and all the rest of it. So I wouldn't worry too much about common sense. I would just start learning to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of you. Mm-hmm. If the Holy Spirit isn't inside of you, well, then just come to Jesus. It's the easiest thing in the world. Yeah. At our church yesterday, one of the things that the pastor said is we've got to convince the world around us, that is, of Christians, that it's really hard to go to hell because we've got Jesus. He's the answer to everything, the power literally over hell. And we don't need to go there.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're struggling with this kind of thing, Jesus is the answer. We'd love to help you meet him if you'd like to. Let the Spirit be your guide.
Yeah.
Don't trust your common sense.
Yeah. Corey, good to hear from you. Quick question from Lula in Seattle, Washington. What does the phrase fall from grace mean? Can a born-again believer fall from grace?
Yes. Anytime that we choose to walk in our own strength, walk in our own understanding, that is to not walk by faith, we have fallen from grace. That doesn't mean we're lost.
Right.
It just means that we've turned away from Jesus and fallen flat on our faces. Mm-hmm. The answer to it is to look at Jesus. I mean, he's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to throw you in a ditch. He's going to climb down into the ditch to get you and pull you back out and get moving on the path. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we fall from grace all the time. And then you remember there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
That the truth of that is absolutely vital, because if that wasn't true, then every time we messed up, we'd be lost, and Jesus would have to die again, and in fact, we wouldn't have a God at all.
Yeah.
But Jesus is everything, and let's let him do what only he can do. What
yes,
do you say?
Indeed. Well, I tell you what let's do. Let's keep it right here in the Dallas area and talk to Dale, listening on the Word, KWRD 100 FM, 100.7 FM. Dale, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I have a sister and a dear friend who have added the chakras and auras to their Christianity. They belong to Jesus, so the question is not, have they asked the Lord, you know, to be their Savior? They absolutely believe that Jesus is the only way. But somehow they have both added these two things, and I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to leave them alone because they're not very prone to listening, or I don't know what to do.
Well, these are the hardest kinds of questions, because sometimes the Spirit will say, I need you to get in there and fight. And other times the Spirit will say, just leave them alone. And so you have to walk by faith in this situation.
Okay.
You can't fix your family member. Absolutely
no,
cannot
that.
Fix them. Jesus can. And as you said, they're his children. So in a sense, he's already fixed them. But while they're dealing with the levels of confusion that they're dealing with and looking at other things to try to find meaning and purpose, it only means that they've taken their eyes off of Jesus. This is an example of falling from grace, not losing salvation, but falling from grace, so that the power of the indwelling Jesus by the Holy Spirit is kind of pointless because they're ignoring it. So the Holy Spirit will do what he needs to do to get their attention, to get their eyes back on Jesus. You may be part of that. You may not be. Talk to God about it. Talk to the Spirit. Trust that God knows what he's doing. You don't have to feel guilty about anything. You don't have to do anything in particular either. Just walk by faith.
I'm not worried about their salvation, so that's
good.
The best part of all.
Yeah,
this.
It is.
So,
yeah. So I'd like to send you a copy of
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace
as well. It'll help you understand perhaps what they're going through, and then you can give it to them perhaps, and maybe they'll read it and respond to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so just hold the line.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, for your call. Hold the line now. Well, friends, we are about out of time, but a quick reminder of the very special gift we have coming back to you as you make your January gift in the next 3 days to support Basic Gospel. It's the CD series we've called It's All Yours, and it's our way of saying thank you for supporting this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your January gift and receive your copy, click Donate at BasicGospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can donate at BasicGospel.net/Canada. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. As I said, it's open around the clock, 24 hours a day. Also, you can mail your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love to see you then. Bye-bye.